This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, look at us. I don't start with my normal opening. Hey, folks, how you doing or something? But this is a Mountain Most Fire podcast where myself, Jeremy, and Matt have, we've been busy. Apologies, but we're back. We're here talking about, what else, Matt? Mountain West stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak for everybody else. Last weekend, I was in Death Valley for several days, unplugging from the world at large. Before that, it was like one thing or another, but we're still around. There's still plenty of offseason left. Rest assured, we'll be with you all the way.
We have some stuff we're working on. We always kind of do in the background. We got the draft coming up shortly in about this month, the draft month. So at the moment, we're starting to slowly crank out our draft profiles at MWR.com. We had the Final Four last weekend. We'll do some random, we'll have some nonsense and fun a little bit before we kind of actually talk some real football, but we'll get some good stuff going. So here's what we're doing tonight. So if you haven't heard this, also, Matt, we might be a bad podcast for doing this like a week late after the Final Four national championship game. We normally don't talk basketball. Well, there's other behind the scenes reasons we don't. There's a time constraint. So that's why there's no hoops this season. Apologies to those who like doing it. Our buddy Andy and Eli have been doing other stuff past a couple years. And so it's like, well, we put our time towards other things. So hopefully there's another hoops podcast you could tune into, like Phil of 68, I think it's called. They're pretty good. But yes, here's what we're doing tonight. With San Diego State went to the national title game. Unfortunately, lost to a very, 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 very good San Diego and UConn team, 76-59. So I got us thinking, even into the Final Four, put on Twitter, Matt. So there's no one way to, because you can ask this question a million different ways, right, to Matt, where it's like, what's your favorite moment? What's the most significant moment? What's the best moment? What's the most watershed moment? Conference, or what team had the best season ever of any sport and it was in a conference. So any list could be kind of whatever you want.
That's true.
And I think we're going to include, we're obviously football, basketball. I have a quick question. This may be a bad Fresno State person of mine, but was Fresno State in the Mountain West when they won a national title in baseball? Or was that a WAC title?
No, that was a WAC title back in 2008. So they were still several years away from joining the Mountain West.
Okay. I knew it was a while ago. I knew it was, I thought it was a couple years before. So
yeah,
that does not
count. I went through each team to sort of refresh my memory of like, okay, well, how many teams have actually won national championships? And you amazingly enough, of every team in the current Mountain West, San Jose State is the one that claims the most national championships.
And people wanted to kick them out.
But And this is true of every team across the conference. You know, none of those championships have come within the Mountain West. As a matter of fact, you know, whether you want to talk in terms of team or individual performance, which I think there's room in this topic to talk about both. Mm-hmm. You know, the true like peak moments, you know, where the conference, somebody within it or a group of people within it are at the pinnacle of college athletics are surprisingly few and far between. You know, it's very hard to win a national championship and create that kind of moment. But I think for our purposes, this could go in any number of directions.
It could, because we'll bounce around kind of big picture, then kind of narrow in a couple of our thoughts. And we had some bunch on Twitter at our MWCR handle, people chimed in. So think of it as like one thing, like what's the hardest achievement to get? Was it what San Diego State did to make it to the national final and just unfortunately come up short, but they did beat the number one overall seed Alabama. They did get to beat, they beat Furman, they beat Creighton, to beat some pretty good teams. Furman was obviously the upset in the first round, but they weren't in games. Like they were going through. So what's harder, that to win six games or the five to get the title than six, I think it is, if you win the whole thing? Or was it, say, what Utah did back in 04 when mm-hmm. before the BCS actually expanded a bit? I know people are like, oh, Utah, get over it. Yes. But like, what do you think, like in your thoughts, what is the harder achievement out of those two? Was it going to the national title game in basketball where you still have to be very, very good? You have to have a, obviously, what did they win? 30 plus games, San Diego State. Did you have to be not just a good team, but like a great team to make it that far? A really, really good team. They're obviously ranked in the top 25 for a good chunk of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But basketball is a different sport. Again, they got to play number 13 Furman, who got a great upset to move on. But Utah had to literally be perfect and have elbow on somebody's neck to maybe give a lawsuit if you don't let them in or something like that around the corner with a former attorney general of the state, I think is Mark Chertoff. So out of those two, what's a harder achievement? Is it, am I biased to say it's Utah to have to be top six back then in 04?
I mean, I think it's almost an impossible comparison because it's two very separate situations. Like obviously in terms of like sports that are played on the collegiate landscape, you know, I think on a week-to-week basis, football is probably the most physically demanding of them, at least among the ones that are sponsored in the Mountain West. But at the same time, you know, I think about the particular conversations about the Mountain West as a whole around this time last year, where, you know, the Mountain West had gone 0-4 in last year's tournament. And you know, there was a lot of, you know, gnashing of teeth, you know, literal and proverbial about what that meant, you know, the pressure being on and things like that. And I'm not a real big college basketball head. You know, I'll say that up out front.
Mm-hmm.
But just, you know, as a casual fan, it seems to me that like winning one game in the tournament is really hard to do because, you know, maybe the one thing that, you know, college football and college basketball tend to have in common is like a lot of things can happen in one game. And so in some respects, you do have to be lucky and good in order to make the most of those opportunities. And so considering San Diego State's recent run, you know, and again, amateur point of view, but I think that I tended to see a team that was more good than lucky. Like obviously, you know, Lamont Butler's last second shot at the buzzer to beat Alabama is one of those things that, you know, you see it a handful of times every year. And that does definitely take some skill, but it's like, you know, coming down to the last second like that does involve a little bit of good fortune, you know, to play good enough defense to give themselves the opportunity to do that. Right.
Yeah. That play, I was watching on my phone. I'm like, I forgot what I was doing. Oh yeah. I was watching on my phone, unfortunately, at the time. And I'm like, what's he doing? It's like a weird bounce. But he says, like, I think The Athletic or something had an article about it, chatted with his dad and stuff. Like, he practiced that type of shot all the time. Like, that type of little dribble bounce. Yeah. Like, it's a mid-range thing. It's not – it's obviously not a very difficult shot to make. Not to put it down, but, like, the way where he shot it, but the pressure, the offense looked like, oh crap, why does he have the ball there? It looked a little awkward where he had to dribble and step back to get a position behind his guy who was standing there. It looked like he wanted to do something else with it. Possibly, maybe not. But like that, with the pressure, the type of shot, the game on the line, yeah, that's quite the amazing feat to take them to the championship game over FAU.
Yeah, and you know, but at the same time, you know what Utah did, you know, winning what was at the time like a pretty good Mountain West, right? It wasn't like they were the only team in that conference that made some waves. Am I wrong about that? I mean, I was more of a whack guy in that time. And I'm realizing now that there were only two other teams that finished above 500 that year. So shows how much I remembered off the top of my head.
They weren't great, but that year Utah. Here's what's interesting about that year: they did. Am I correct? No, that's the year before. Sorry, they beat North Carolina. They beat Cal, New Mexico. When they actually, I think they had Dontrell Moore at the time. I think he's still the only four-time first team all conference running back ever in the league, or a player in the league, I believe it is. Mm-hmm. Like they held them to like, that was still like, oh crap, this game's gonna be kind of close. And Utah only won like I think by 20 points or something yeah, where it's like wasn't close, but it was not great. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't. There were multiple teams like we've seen in the past decade where you have Air Force ranked Utah State, Boise, San Diego State, like a combination of those. They weren't. Mm-hmm. It wasn't really. Colorado State was still at Sonny Lubick, was kind of on the downturn. You had BYU, who was, I think, was that still Gary Crotoneers, where they were in a whole world effort during that time?
Yeah, I believe so.
And the bib jerseys people hate, the little tan ones and the dark blue. But yeah, it wasn't a great league. But when Utah goes out and schedules, again, North Carolina, Texas A&M, Cal, and they're beating all those teams in the 03 and 04 years, Urban Meyer, like, it wasn't just that, because I was at school at the time at University of Utah. I went to a handful of games. I did go to that Fiesta Bowl game in 05, but they were like beating the crap. Like, it wasn't even close. They beat BYU, like, I should pull the scores up here, but like, they're winning by 30 plus points. Again, like that Pitt game, I think they won 35-17. I'll pull it up here. I'm like, this game is too close. What are they doing? This team is terrible. Why is it only 35-17 or something?
Yeah, they were. I went back and I looked this up. They scored 45 points a game that year behind only two other teams.
They were beyond dominant.
Yeah, and it's like one of those things where, you know, and in college football, sometimes you can only play the teams that are right in front of you, which, you know, that's great. But you know what great teams do? Great teams demolish good teams.
35-7 when he played.
And that's exactly what Utah did that year.
And San Diego State basketball, they beat good teams. I think they played Arizona kind of close. They played them early. They had that comeback versus the Pitt in New Mexico. Like it's football and basketball. Spoiler, they're different sports. But when you look at the big picture of things, I still want to say, and it's people, oh, you hate the Aztecs. This could come out this way. I know it. I still think making the BCS the first time is harder than what they did in basketball. By a little bit, because you literally have to be perfect. You have to be
in
perfect
terms
to
of
get
the
there.
Intersection of talent and chance. I do think that the Aztecs and their run to the national championship, even if they didn't win it, was probably the more difficult feat.
It's they're both amazing. I think the way that. I mean, Lee, remember, Utah had to be top six that year as well. There was no top 12 guards. Improvement they had. I will still say, going to the national title game is, to compare the two, I'll go San Diego State, but what Utah did helped a lot more other teams and help out kind of where we're at today in the playoff a little bit, expanded, getting more teams chances to show. Because in March Madness, teams, if you get in, you have a chance, which is awesome. St. Peter's, Bucknell, you see Gonzaga building up, you see a VCU, you see Butler, you see all these teams that aren't major conferences or major schools. You have going on to get upsets. When Coppin State beat Iowa State, I remember watched at my brother's couch, and like when they beat Marcus Fizer like a 98 or something. It's like that's more exciting and amazing. Everybody has a chance. Football, it's just tricky. It's harder to get there, but if you go to a national title game, I have to lean toward that one. I think more significance for the sport. Yes, what Utah did was the case, but if you go to a national title game, it's hard to say that's not any better. That's worse than anything else outside of what he did. So, did you have anything else? Would the Utah thing be the most comparable to what San Diego State did, like in 04? Mm-hmm. Or is there anything else that'd be kind of in that ballpark?
Oh man, I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head. I mean, we haven't even talked about the 2008 Utah team yet either.
That's where I was kind of leaning into, because Alabama was number one all year long and then got their butt kicked by Utah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like that game. I remember working and watching that game. Utah was up, like, you had Brent Castile, or not Brent Castile, the Brian Johnson quarterback, and Matt Asiata. They, you know, they did Brent Castile because he's the guy who freaking would always muff and fumble the punch. Like, what are you doing? Catch the dang ball. Back there, like, bobble it. That team's different too, because they were not as dominant as 04, but they go, their schedule is overall, I think Mountain West a little bit tougher, but beating Alabama by that much, and just, I don't care, like, oh, they don't want to be there. I hate that argument because you can't give any credit. But that team, quite good. So I, because they end up being number two in the country that you're only behind Florida.
Yeah, and they beat two other really good teams in conference to get there too.
Yeah, and they did it,
and they did it in the crunch run too. You know, they beat. I went back and I looked at their exact schedule, and I recalled, like, not only did they beat, you know, a Texas Christian team that was number 11 itself.
That's right. Yeah,
they did it on a short week. You know, they played TCU at home on a Thursday night after having survived at New Mexico the week before.
Yeah,
and then 2 weeks later had to go, you know, beat BYU at home too.
Yeah, that's when New Mexico was still a pretty good team, 13-10. I do remember the game winner versus Oregon State when they, I think the Rogers brothers, Jacquez Rogers, they had Luis Cicotta hit the game winner. But they were, and they beat Michigan too. That was Jim Harbaugh's first.
That was a Rich Rod year.
Utah opened up against Michigan a couple years ago, Jim Harbaugh's first year. As soon as I said, I'm like, no, that's not right. But yeah, they go under and beat Michigan. They, whatever, they beat a couple power conference teams. But that's very difficult. But like going out and crushing Alabama, it's like, I still remember with Daryl Johnson freaking out in that game because when the BCS was on Fox. So that one could be in the same area. I know one achievement. I should look it up. There's some stuff I looked up and some didn't. I'm going to bounce around a little bit. But so this is within, it's all within the Mountain West area, I believe. So we had another thing, if we go back to the 04 year. And again, this is Utah-centric a little bit, but don't get mad at me, because Utah had number one pick in football, Alex Smith, to your Niners, Matt, as you recall.
Mm-hmm.
Number one pick, Andrew Book at basketball. I think that Utah team went Sweet 16. But did you know, do you know who Steven Strasburg is? I'm pretty sure most people do, right?
Oh, yeah, I know who Steven Strasburg is.
I know you're a baseball guy, yes. Also number one overall pick in 09. I should look this up, but when I was doing a quick research, I saw it a little bit ago before I recorded. Has there been any conference that had number one pick in those three sports?
Ooh, you know what? I didn't even think to look that up, but I'd be very surprised.
I'd say no, because I remember football and basketball with Bogut and Smith was the first time ever that happened by a school, and then also within the conference. But three baseball, I don't know well enough about baseball draft, but that's a pretty big feat for the whole conference. Like, I know those are three separate things, but like achievements throughout the league history, that's a pretty big one.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, I'm just going back through like sort of recent history, and I just pulled up the MLB draft, cause that was what we were sort of talking about most directly. So like off the top of my head, and at least in terms from like, let's say 2007, you know, going back to David Price, when he was picked number one overall by the Rays, you know, you're talking about schools like Vanderbilt, UCLA. UCLA, have they had a number one NFL pick? Because I'm almost certain they had to have one on the basketball court at some point.
I've heard of Lou Alcindor before, right? Maybe he's number one.
Stanford. Andrew Luck went number one, did he not?
Yeah, but no basketball. Well, basketball had a couple guys, but no, I don't know if Andrew Luck even went number one overall. I'd look and see.
Auburn had Cam Newton go number one.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon State, Arizona State, Louisville. So, I mean, maybe, you know, talk about Miami, University of Miami, Rice, Clemson. Baseball, yeah. So I would imagine a few of them probably have two of three.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal. Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
But I do think that
it was first.
Yeah. So, you know, finding someone to go, you know, number one in all three, Mountain West might be the only one.
It's a pretty big deal. I just saw that. I'm like, wait a minute. Because you're right, baseball, because Jay Keller wasn't going number one. Nobody from Rice ever is good at football and basketball for that level of pick. Stanford's a possibility. Oh, wait.
Okay, hold on. I stand corrected. So it doesn't mention it, but the Mountain West actually has a chronology, which brings this up. So since 2000, they're one of two conferences to have the number one pick in the NFL, NBA, and MLB draft.
Who's the
conferences?
Other?
Yeah, I would guess that the other is probably the SEC.
That makes sense. They're very good in football, obviously.
Baseball. Yeah, we just mentioned Vanderbilt and in Auburn, so.
Kentucky basketball. I'm trying to think who would have been. Now I'm curious. Now that I'd be interested in who it would be.
It's Kentucky? Probably someone totally obvious that we've just forgotten about.
Jadeveon Clowney, does that count? Because was he number one overall?
No, we're talking about basketball. Anthony Edwards.
Oh, basketball. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Okay, there you go. That man. Okay.
Carl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Okay, Anthony Davis. Sorry. There you go. Kentucky.
I get to school, right? Carl Anthony Towns. Yeah, the cat. I get it. Anthony Edwards. Yeah, the Minnesota guys. Okay. No, I was thinking Kentucky. I wasn't sure who it was. Okay. Hey, that's good. That feed, that's crazy. That's amazing. So what else do you have on your list? Like, what do you kind of go through? Like, hey, this is one of the coolest things the league's ever done or one of the best things ever. Like any particular game or anything about that?
See, I wasn't thinking of games as much as I was thinking about like top tier performances. So to sort of stay on San Diego State for a moment longer, mm-hmm. I do think that the fact that Danelle Pumphrey is still the all-time FBS, all-time leading rusher, is a very big deal.
Even though I have to bring up the caveat, bowl games didn't count for like Ricky Williams or Ron Day. Just say it. Just so
we're aware
of that. And thing is, hey, Sports Reference, get on and fix it for us. Let us know. Do they have that on there? Probably. I bet they do. I'm just yelling at somebody. He's like, we already have that, you dummy. Go look and see. But no, that is an amazing feat. Like their run of, including him, you have Rashard Penny, the multiple running backs winning all conference. But that, yeah, having a national record in the most popular sport, that's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm.
I have a game that's interesting. Okay. I want to get to. We'll go back and forth. So, obviously, I live here in Utah. One of the biggest games ever, and we got to talk about Jimmer Fredette a little bit because he's kind of a big deal.
Okay.
When Kawhi Leonard, San Diego State, before Kawhi Leonard, like he was really good in college, like really good. NBA, he's like exceeded beyond what people thought. That singular night, I almost got tickets to the game or press, but they're like, nope, we're full even for press because I was working at where I was at in town. Like you can't get in. Nobody, nope, you're done. No, I'm like, what? But that game, top 10, San Diego State versus BYU, I think it was on CBS Sports Network, not the Mountain Network, which we can get to later as an achievement, but that game was. Like what lived up to all the hype with, I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but I just thought of it a little bit ago, but that game is arguably the most hyped Mountain West basketball game of all time. No, not kidding. Not hyperbole. When you have two top, maybe even bigger than any football hyped up any football game, because we did have, you remember, I think it was a top 10 TCU Utah team. I think in 10 when TCU went to the Rose Bowl and TCU just wiped the floor with Utah. It wasn't even close. This was a game that, if I recall, they all played the extremely well game. It was down at the Marriott Center in Provo. It was 82-75, Aztecs win. And I do remember, I think in the championship game or the Mountain West tournament, Jimmer Fredette went off and beat the Aztecs, if I'm correct. But that game was hyped beyond belief, even though it was early in the year. It was like wait, is this right? Oh, it showed me the wrong. Oh, that score is wrong. I hate Google. You know why? I put it even. I even put a Jimmer. I told me their game they played like 2 years ago. I'm like, Jimmer, where's your? I bet some article had Jimmer mentioned in it. So I want to pull up the right details because people are gonna be pissed at me now. Jimmer, there it is. Yes, number. I'm like, they're ranked. So Jimmer scored 43 points. Top 10 matchup. Number 9 BYU. Number 4 San Diego State at the time. Aztecs were undefeated. It was the game where it was a team was 19-1 versus 20-0 in college basketball. That is ridiculous. Like, if you go to the ACC or big time college, another conference that's even bigger from basketball, these matchups don't happen. Like, this was literally, like, this might be the game itself. Yes, 13 point difference. I know we're talking about a game however many years ago, 15 years ago or something. Mm-hmm. But I remember this game, he was just amazing. Fournette was not missing. He shoot from anywhere, 40 plus points. And that going into that game, that's probably, I'll stand by, probably the most anticipated game in any sport across the conference ever. Like, the coverage about it nationally, this was it. I know you have Utah in 04 when they break the BCS. That was huge. This might even be bigger than that. And it kind of, it mostly lived up to the hype for about 34 minutes. If I recall.
Yeah, I mean, that certainly sounds about it. I mean, what I always think of when I think of, like, big games, big moments for the conference, which, you know, obviously the stakes weren't quite as high.
Nope.
But I always think about the 2016 game between UNLV and Wyoming.
Oh, yes. We have the link somewhere
that,
to DM.
That absolutely no one watched. And that for years, nobody could find it because it was on Campus Insiders, which no longer exists anymore.
Unfortunately.
69-66 in triple overtime, which at the time, I believe, was 1 point shy of the all-time FBS record, which I think, you know, by now it would have been surpassed because, you know, Houston and SMU had that really wild game last year. But, you know, that was just one of those things where, like, if you were there for it, and you were paying attention to it, like, you knew exactly how gonzo it was. So you know, it may not necessarily have been like the biggest moment in the traditional sense, I think in terms of, like, you know, high unexpected drama, you know, at least in my memory as a Mountain West enthusiast, that, you know, it's that has very few peers, if any.
Yeah, scores that many points, and the teams weren't even that good that year overall, I don't think. Was Wyoming any good that year? Do you remember off the top of your head?
In 2016, well, I'm pretty sure they went bowling in 2016.
Yeah, at least average. Yeah, I was trying to think. Yeah, that is one of the football games. Like, yeah, out of the, hey, come out of left field. That's wild. Yeah,
that was the year Wyoming actually went to the, I believe they went to the championship game that year against San Diego State.
Okay. Was that Josh Allen team then?
Yes, it was.
Oh, okay. All right, then. Yeah, that game. Oh, man. I do remember the game winning field goal. That game. And that is one of the best ones ever. Just kind of like, hey, here's what happened. Like, don't expect nothing. Watch everything. That's what you should do for college football. It's like, what can we watch here? What's going on? And see what little nuggets we could find. Oh, man. So what else you got? So that's a game. Any other big picture stuff like you mentioned earlier about you kind of going through that kind of...
Okay. So... So going off any particular field for a moment, do we consider the foundation of the mountain to be a big moment in retrospect?
Yeah, huge. We a million times. No NFL Network, no NBA TV, no SEC.
Ahead of its time.
No Longhorn Network. By miles, they just didn't have the best. It's like the Pac-12 Network. Their streaming idea... Not streaming, but sorry, they have all the offshoots: Pac-12 National, Bay Area, Mountain, SoCal, North, whatever they have. Like, they have Arizona, they have all those, are great, but it takes up space, it costs money, and nobody wanted as much. But what the Mountain did, yeah, it's very groundbreaking. And even the Mountain West, even streaming games afterward, well, we can't do this on TV, we'll stick online. So I remember on our old site, we put on some random Fresno State game. We had like our most page views ever because they gave us the code. And like, people want to watch football. Wait, people want to watch football online? Like, yeah, they do. Give me five screens at once. But what we know about watching sports now, it probably fast forwarded that 5 to 10 years. It just didn't have like Comcast on part of it. They didn't distribute proper. Because I remember writing articles, Matt, about it, where, okay, Comcast owns this channel. Why is it not on a tier? Like, maybe not, like, Atlanta is a big Comcast town or city. Like, mm-hmm. I know at some point the Mountain got on there, but I know Regional Sport Network, our Ascend are in a weird spot right now, but there's times where, oh, I want to buy the sports package, which not really the best value, but you get some weird random channels. If you live in a certain zip code, you can get some mm-hmm. more teams. Like, I remember I worked for DirecTV for years, and if you lived in like Pittsburgh or the Northeast and you got the sports package, typically you're blacked out from watching Major League Baseball or NBA because yeah, where yeah. you live. But if you had that package, there were certain parts in the country where you could watch like multiple Major League Baseball teams with the sports package, like $10 a month. So I remember in the Northeast, mm-hmm. there's some, I don't know why I still remember this match. It's so weird. Like, it's somewhere a guy in Northeast where they're able to get Pirates, Phillies, Yankees, and Mets game all on with just a package, which typically shouldn't be able to do. It's just some weird geographical quirk where they lived. And so the Mountain Network, if you're in different parts of the country, it wasn't even on that tier to pay the $10 a month like the Red Zone channel people get now, or add on some random sports pack. It wasn't even on there for a company that had a controlling interest in the network. I don't know, that probably wouldn't have saved it, but it would have been helpful. Oh, I can get Comcast in North Carolina. My kid plays at New Mexico or San Diego State. I can watch them. That's pretty cool. But no, I think that's one of the biggest things. The conference, even though it failed. Yeah, you brought this up. Continue your thoughts on it.
I was just going to say, you know, in terms of, you know, being out in front and something that I think a lot of us take for granted now, you know, even if it didn't work out, it definitely set the tone for a lot of things which have followed in the year, in the decade plus since.
Do you want to hear a fun email? I probably told this story before, but I don't remember. So when the Mountain Network shut down, I think it actually showed baseball too, which is nice as well, a couple of the sports. But I got an email literally out of the blue to probably one of my Gmail accounts I had from the general manager of the Mountain Network, who said, "Hey, don't say anything about this, but our network shut down next week."
Oh no.
No, I'm yes, like something like that, or within the near future.
I don't remember you telling me this story.
No? Oh man.
No.
I never delete emails, but I know I deleted that one because it's probably old. But I got an email from somebody from, I think it's GM or somebody high up at the Mountain Network, basically saying, "Hey, we're shuttering this service." I'm like, why the heck are you telling me? I have some random website people care about, but not a huge outlet, obviously, nothing gigantic. Like, why are you cold emailing some dude who may be some rando who doesn't do anything journalistic proper? I could have gone off and said, "Hey, the Mountain, I got an email screenshot. This Mountain West Mountain Network is done." Right? I could have done that if I wanted to.
Yeah, but maybe they knew you well enough to know that you have integrity.
Maybe. I never knew. I do not know who this person was, or as to this day, I don't recall. But it's not like anybody had a random email or counter in passing about, hey, anything about the network or interviews or anything like that. Nothing. So I got an email. Like, so I go to my guide. I'm like, and it ended like, I remember going ahead like the 2 weeks on your guide, you could check. And there was like, nobody really noticed it, but it says like, you know, sometimes to be determined programming if it's too far out or they don't know yet, TBA. Mm-hmm. I remember like that, but I got an email saying, "Hey, the network is closing." I'm like, what? So I like pre-wrote something. I'm like, then I think Sports Business Journal had it. As soon as I saw it published, I'm like, click on mine too, and did it as well, essentially. But yeah, I got an email saying, "Hey, the network is shutting down. And this time, don't tell anything yet until it's ready to get, until it's official." I'm like, all right then. Do you know what year that was when it shut down? Was it like 2008?
Man, I don't remember that off the top of my head. I think so.
I'm trying to look when the Big Ten started their network, because they're the next one to come up and they partnered with Fox. But
DirecTV launched it in 2008.
Launched what? Big Ten Network?
I'm not entirely sure when it got shut down.
Oh, you mean the Mountain Network?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, because I remember I did have it for a minute on DirecTV. But you know, that is one of the biggest things people don't realize. Like, there wouldn't be all these conference networks or sport. It would eventually happen.
It closed
like,
in 2012.
Oh, 2012. Okay. That makes sense. I'm trying to think about it. But that's of all the things Mountain West did, this could be arguably the most culturally significant, or actually printing money machine it is in college sports.
Yeah, I mean, you're thinking of like big picture kinds of things. It's very hard to imagine anything bigger than really setting the tone for the way that we watch, a lot of us watch sports. Like, I don't have a cable package. I watch everything online. I stream everything.
Yeah. Like, either, well, yeah, people get like YouTube TV, which is kind of the same thing now, but there's people who, oh, people like baseball. Oh, we'll put SEC Network, we'll put a lot of baseball. We're going to baseball. Oh, Big Ten Network, but they did it right. They put everything HD. They would show swimming. They would show soccer. They show everything. And people like those sports. I know football is a big deal and all this stuff focused around college football and basketball, but they'll show conference basketball or baseball games. They'll show different wrestling, different sports throughout. And this might be, it's, this could be up there. One of the most moments within the conference, biggest things within the conference.
Absolutely.
What else we got here? What else are you looking at?
So, you know, we didn't mention it earlier with when we were talking about Steven Strasburg, but I think it is in the same vein worth mentioning that exactly one team has gone to the College World Series out of the Mountain West.
And that's the Aztecs, and
that was,
right?
That was, no, that was TCU back in 2010.
TCU. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. I think I'll remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. When they actually finished third overall.
Okay, I'm trying to remember. That's huge. Like that, for all the, we talk about all the other sports. You have what, Utah's football. We've had a lot of football. We'll get to more when we see TCU. But no, that's a huge deal. Getting top three in the College World Series.
Yeah, I was gonna say, if memory serves, that was the team that was led by Matt Perk, who, you know, I can't remember if it was the same year or the following year. I think maybe it was two. Well, he was signed. Excuse me, he was drafted in 2009 in the first round and didn't sign. But then he was drafted in the third round in 2011, 2 years later. And while it didn't work out, you know, obviously for him as a pro, you know, I don't think anybody in Fort Worth is complaining, you know, that he really set the tone for what has been a pretty successful history.
They're going to multiple sports. They're okay. Well, okay. Basketball, football, obviously this past year. And did you know, so do you remember the 09 season of football at all?
Not really. I was mostly paying attention to the WAC at that point.
Yeah. Well, this was TCU barely came in. So remember they forced TCU and Boise to play in the Fiesta Bowl. It's like, come on, you guys suck.
Mm-hmm.
But that year was Colt McCoy in Texas playing the Dominican Sioux in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Do you recall where? Do you know where this is heading?
No, you're going to tell me.
Okay, no, I'm just, yeah, of course I'm going to tell you. I'm just wondering if my context doesn't lead you. There's probably people screaming, "Yes, the timer! They're put time back on the clock." So TCU was ranked number 3 in the nation that year. Sioux was the gigantic defensive lineman, Heisman Finals, probably should have won it for Nebraska.
I watched that Big 12 title game, and I thought to myself, how is Colt McCoy still walking?
True. So do you remember the added time on the clock?
I don't remember that, no.
So there's a ball that goes out of bounds, Texas, because this is when Texas played Alabama, the title game, and McCoy got hurt, and was that started like Nick Saban's dynasty there in Alabama. So they, at time, should have expired on an incomplete pass out of bounds. They put 1 second back and they put time back on the clock. Texas wins. If Texas loses, TCU, Alabama, BCS title game.
That does sound vaguely familiar now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, I like your pause. Like, what? 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 That's happening? That could have happened. That year, then they ended up losing to Boise in the Fiesta Bowl, which was nice. Not nice, but a good rematch because they played in Poinsettia Bowl the year before. And it was, I think, TCU on that one. So is that also, do you remember the Tank Carter Wisconsin Fiesta or Rose Bowl?
Yes.
Where 2-point conversion, he rolls out. I don't remember the quarterback. It wasn't Russell Wilson. I don't remember who it was, but knocks down the pass, the fly. Because it's funny, Wisconsin's like, we got to go for 2 to win. We got to beat Gary Patterson. We got to beat Larry Hughes. I think it was Larry Hughes, one of the defenders for that TCU team. They had 2 All-American defenders
who were amazing. Hughes, right?
Yeah, sorry, Jerry Hughes. Yeah, I'm like, Larry
it was Scott Tolzien, by the way, who was a quarterback for Wisconsin that year.
Scott Tolzien! Oh, Like, are you kidding me?
Those are your Monty Ball Wisconsin Badgers in 2010.
Same question. Why didn't you run the ball, coach? Barry Alvarez, why didn't you run the ball up the middle? Defense is too good, I guess, for TC, but they want to go for the win.
I was
going to
say, again, I don't think anybody in Fort Worth is complaining about that.
No, they won. I'm just saying, Tank Carter knocked down the two-point conversion to win at the freaking Rose Bowl. That was when the BCS, to kind of create a bit more access and create a few things where once every 4 years, if you're the non-qualifier, if you're the non-BCS, whatever you call it, gets into a big-time game, they have to go to the Rose Bowl once. They just stuck him into the first time. The first time it happened, like, let's just get this over with. You know what I mean? We don't want to drag this out and know, say, in the final year, oh, we guess we're taking number 14 Tulane or something. Sorry, not to disparage Tulane, but number 14, whoever, who just made it in because they're head of the crappy Big East at the time to get that spot. But they get a good game. And that was that like, there's a lot of good bowl game finishes. You have that one. We have, that was in the WAC days. Obviously, the two Utah BCS wins playing. But they're like football wise, like you mentioned, 69-66. That's an amazing game. But winning the Rose Bowl, that's I kind of space on that being at the Rose Bowl. That's kind of a big deal. One of the biggest, huge in 2011. Wow. 21-19 was the final score. Oh, no. They needed the 2 points to tie. So apologize. They weren't going just for the win. So my mistake. What other should we go to some questions? We got people responding about big time Mountain West stuff.
Can we give a shout out to, you know, some of the other, I guess you might generally call them the Olympic sports.
Because
probably did not receive as much attention in their time, and they're still definitely a big deal. So like, for example, you know, I mentioned earlier how like national championships in the Mountain West in any sport are relatively few and far between. Let's not forget New Mexico had two of them back in 2015 and 2017 in women's cross country.
Yes, I'm looking at our message right there. They won the only team to win a national title within the Mountain West, it looks like.
Yeah, they did it twice. Courtney Freericks, I believe, was a record setter on those teams. But it's, you know, and at the same time, you know, at Boise State, Allie Ostrander, was a national champion twice in the steeplechase, which I have a vague recollection of like what the steeplechase actually involves. But I just know, like, I see that it's like a 3,000 meter race. And I think to myself, I don't like to run at normal pace, let alone, you know, run for 3,000 meters in a steeplechase, things like that. So it's like, that something like that seems incredibly difficult to do.
Yeah, because you jump over obstacles and go through water and stuff. It's wild.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it's a horse race. No. It's horse. My mistake. I wanted to think what it was, but I looked it up real quick. So yeah, it's the horse racing where you're not running, but you're on a horse, but you have to have your horse jump over, I'll say obstacles, but like, it's bushes or like going over, and there's water, like a ditch is not a ditch. That's a proper word, it's an improper way. But you jump over diverse fences and ditch obstacles. So it's partially water, maybe like jump over thing like a shrub in front of your house, like those long ones people have sometimes. You jump over those. So it's a horse race. Yes. I was thinking like, that's not running. I think there's a running race similar to that too. I think there is. But the steeplechase specifically is a horse race.
A steeplechase right now. There is a hurdle involved.
Yeah.
There's at least one hurdle that I've seen. But I mean,
oh wait, no, it's both. It's both. It's either. I don't know which one it was. Because I'm on Wikipedia, so it's either a horse race. It says, oh, okay. Here's where the we're terrible podcast people. We should research before. It derives from horse racing, so there is a horse one which we just mentioned. But I was also thinking too, there is running as well. Whereas hurdles, you jump over like water obstacles. So yes, there it is both. So, regardless, quite difficult to do.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I think that there are some other, you know, things too. Like we probably don't need to go into huge detail about, like, you know, 2014 Boise State winning another Fiesta Bowl, things like that. But I think in terms of like what I would consider to be the biggest things to happen in the Mountain West, you know, that would be sort of you know, I think of just like, when has the conference been the best of the best? And in those particular cases, you know, those are some of the best examples that the Mountain West has to offer.
Yeah, I would think, like, if you look at the combo years, again, this is me being not kind of homers, but 04, when Utah goes Sweet 16, they win the Fiesta Bowl, that's a pretty big deal. Like, there's not a ton. We could probably find, like, the problem is basketball has been struggling forever. Like, you had Lon Kruger took UNLV to Sweet 16 a while back. 2013, five teams make the NCAA tournament, but they don't do much of anything. So that's why, like, we had Nevada go to almost beat Loyola Chicago to make the Elite Eight a couple years ago.
Yeah.
With a Musselman shirtless must. That shirtless must is a big thing, too, in the conference. I like love doing that. When we write about that, our buddy Brandon wrote stuff like, why is this getting, like, a million page views? Not literally, wish, but shirtless must is a great thing to have around. But yeah. So the combo years in the two major sports are few and far between. For the most part. Because there's no deep runs. There's individual stuff like, had Brandon Davies not had the honor code issues, and there's a long story behind that, BYU could legitimately be a minimum Final Four team back in that season when he was unable to complete the season with BYU, when they had Jimmer Fredette and some other guys I can't think of off the top of my head that were really good. So somebody put in Craig Thompson's hair. Where do we put that? Never changing. A model always of
consistency.
Did he dye it ever, or was it all natural, you think?
I'm just gonna assume it's all natural. Cause I mean, I'm almost 40 myself. Yeah. And you know, not to brag, but I think that I have a pretty healthy head of hair myself. And so I'm inclined to believe that, you know, Craig Thompson simply knows how to take care of himself, practices self-care, and has an amazing head of hair as a result.
Yes. Okay. That's what always our buddy Fake Matt Momi always puts it in there. The hair. Somebody actually put in Danny Granger over Andrew Bogut. Maybe, but he wasn't picked higher. So can't. Sorry. Yeah. Just saying, if draft picks matter, I guess, where you picked at. A lot of people say it, like Utah beating Alabama, crushing them, just beating the crap out of them, making Brady Switzer sound like an idiot. Let's see what else we got. Here's a handful. Obviously, the hair. It's a half kidding joke, but not really, because that is quite the amazing hair. Trying to see what else in our replies here. Anything you see that people send in? I'm trying to get through here.
Not that I've noticed, no.
Is there something? Okay, nothing. Yeah, it's mostly the same stuff we've already gone over. Alabama, Boise, Craig Thompson, I guess, cutting the legs out of the whack is a pretty big deal. But that's like a different type of moment we're talking about. What would top San Diego State going to the title game? Would it be making the football Final Four? What would top, or just winning a national title in basketball or any sport? Like, what do you think would be next 10 years? Would there be something bigger than Aztecs making the national title game in basketball?
Ooh, other than winning a title?
Yeah, like, would the new expanded playoff?
I think they would have to either win a title, or somebody would have to win like one of the biggest individual honors. Like, you know, a football player would have to win the Heisman, or a basketball player would have to win the Naismith Trophy or something like that. Other than that, it's really hard to imagine any one thing that would top what we just saw from the Aztecs.
What if, let me present this scenario, 10-seeded Fresno State in the college football playoff, Matt, goes off and wins and makes it to like the title game, wins three games to make it to the championship game, but loses?
I mean, personally, that'd be one of the best things that would ever happen to me, but... But again, I think like you'd have to win it, I think, in order to top what we just saw in the tournament.
Not even, you wouldn't say making the national title game football would top it, just because the difficulty is.
I don't think so. No.
You don't think
so? Because again, you're talking about winning like one game to get there versus winning five games to get there.
I hear you. Okay. I was trying to put it out there because I think if you're a football team and to make the title game, that would surpass basketball and making, not winning it, but making it. Now, a winning in either sport would trump either, even though I kind of hedged earlier saying Utah's 04 season may be better than the Aztecs. Significantly, for the league and college sports, yes, Utah 04. But as for on-field success and getting to the title game, which nobody's ever done and not many teams have ever done, Aztecs is number one moment and achievement so far. I was trying to see, just getting thoughts up there of what's going on. Mm-hmm. Any other things you want to get to about any other random big-time stuff in the conference? Or are we going to wrap it up here?
I think we're good to wrap up for now.
Trying to see real quick. Nothing. We're good. Yeah, I'm trying to scroll. I found the list I was looking at. Nothing more different than what we discussed already. So, all right. So this wraps up for tonight. As we see, or today, it could be in the morning. Who knows when you're listening? We appreciate it. We'll be back at a more regular clip going forward. We got some NFL draft stuff we'll get to. Profiles coming out. We'll do maybe some offseason random football lists, stuff like that. Quarterback things, like who's going to start, whatnot, or just all sorts of interesting stuff. If you have anything you want us to talk about, MWC Wire on Twitter, just tag us while it's still around and we can do stuff on Twitter, I guess, because, you know, things are weird on that platform there. So we'll be back next time. And yeah, again, MWWire.com, and we'll see you then.